This morning, for a message, I'd like to look at one word, and that word is peace. And I'd like to ask you as a congregation to just a minute or two here just to respond. What does peace mean? What in your minds, not going to the dictionary, but in your minds, can you tell me what is peace? Anyone, either side of the house. Gary.
Lack of conflict.
Lack of conflict.
Freedom from guilt.
Freedom from guilt.
Back and forth with an email with somebody. The end of the one email said peace. Just relax.
Okay. Just relax. All right. I'm going to ask another question, and I don't need you to respond to this, but I want you to think about it in your own mind. And that is, what would you give for peace? What would you give to have peace? In the Old Testament, the word peace was translated from a Hebrew word meaning repose. And I didn't take the time to look up repose again. I actually, it's interesting, I looked back on my notes here, and I actually, this message, the first time I preached it was 31 years ago. And I had to stop and think, you know, we haven't found in this world, we haven't found any more peace in those 31 years. In fact, we've probably saw peace disappear more and more in those 31 years. But the Hebrew word peace means repose or rest. Sitting back, not necessarily just taking your ease, but having a peaceful relaxation. The New Testament Greek word, translated peace in our King James Bible, is to join or set at one again. Be united, be set right with each other. And we're looking at the relationship of people, individuals, organizations, lands, countries, and God. And I think as we go through this message, there's a couple of things that we want to look at. The first one being at one with God, at peace with God. You know, there's a phrase that is a statement from an individual many years ago that says, peace doth not dwell in outward things, but within the soul. We may preserve it in the midst of the bitterest pain, if our will remain firm and submissive. Another statement, if we have not peace within ourselves, it is in vain to seek it from without. And I think as we go through the message, we'll understand what these individuals knew and felt as they went through their life. At one with God, no division of our way and His. No division between our will and his. And I think another thing that we need to recognize is at one with myself. No condemning conscience. And accepting God's forgiveness and then forgiving ourselves. And I know there's a lot of individuals that frown at that because there might be some New Age thought connected with that. And yet I do believe that we can go on through life condemning ourselves for the terrible things we did and just repeating them and saying how terrible I am and never really getting over the fact that we have forgiveness from God for those things. And we need to lay them down and not allow Satan to use them to beat us over the head time and time again. We need to accept God's forgiveness and then forgive ourselves. And sometimes maybe it's pride rather than humility that keeps us repeating these things, because it draws attention to us in some way or another. At one with myself, no rival feelings or grudging submission. Is that how I go through life? At one with others. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, we need to do what we can to have peace with those around us, not just those in this room today, but other friends and neighbors and family and other individuals that we meet, to have peace with them and to understand that without that, we can never really truly have peace. Peace at any cost? Yes. Short of commitment to Christ. I asked the question before, what are you willing to give up, or what are you willing to give in order to have peace? Are you willing to give up your own way in order to have peace with another individual? Are you willing to give up your own way in order to have peace with God? Are you willing to lay aside yourself and to give up yourself so that you can have peace in your heart and in your mind? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us that peace is one of those fruits that the Spirit works in our lives. The works of the flesh do not bring peace. The works of the flesh bring contention. The works of the flesh bring guilt and condemnation from God. The works of the flesh bring us unrest and turmoil in our minds and in our souls. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and we could go on. Peace is not dependent on outward circumstances, but is an inner quality. Peace, then, is surrender, submission, and freedom. Sad to say, many individuals today are looking for peace, which is the end product of surrender and submission and freedom. But they want freedom and peace without the surrender and the submission, and it's impossible. We cannot find true peace without surrender. We cannot find true peace without submission. And we cannot find peace without freedom. But they need to be in the proper order. submission to God is the only way. And I emphasize that it is the only way that we can find peace. If we are battling against God, if we are fighting against God, if we are holding back anything from God, and we're saying, God, you don't own this. It's not yours. We are fighting against the very source of peace when we do that. Submission to His word. Am I willing to submit my life to the word and commandments and doctrines of God? Or do I go through life chafing and turning against that and fighting against that to the point that I'm not going to submit? I'm not going to do that. That's just going too far. God, you have no right. Freedom. If we're willing to surrender to God, we're willing to submit to God, then we will have freedom. We'll have freedom in doing what is right. We won't be fighting against those things because it won't matter what other people think about us, because God is preeminent in our lives. It won't matter what happens to us, because we've surrendered and submitted to God, and we said, God, we're in your hands, and we have freedom to live a life that is living righteously. And we can have peace. Remember, peace is not contingent upon outward circumstances, but peace is found within ourselves and a relationship with God. How do we obtain peace? Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Brothers and sisters, these verses tell us that in order to find peace, we need to find it through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. We can search the world over, and we can heap to ourselves things that will make us happy. We can heap to ourselves things that might give us some security. But brothers and sisters, you will never find peace in your heart and in your mind and in your conscience outside of a relationship to God through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That is the only way that we can be reconciled to God. That is the only way that we can find forgiveness of our sins. It is the only way that we can have the condemnation of sin removed. It is the only way that we can lay our heads down on our beds and go to sleep in peace because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 brings out another way of obtaining peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it ties the work of Jesus Christ into the thought of peace. But we need to be justified. It's not just enough to say, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. We need to do that. But then we need to allow that blood to have its work in our lives, and that is through justification, being justified by faith. What is a man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago and being taken down and laid in the grave, what does that have to do with my relationship with God and my ability to be free and have peace? The reason being, it was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, and he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again, and he's living today. He's on the right hand of God interceding for you and I, and we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can have peace. We're not just. None of us are. But we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, can give you peace. You know that God accepts you because you have been cleansed and made pure and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 27, shows us that Jesus gives peace to those who believe on him. John 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is offering that peace to us today. Jesus is saying to those who believe on him, "I give you peace." The turmoil, the rage that goes on inside our minds when we are condemned by sin is horrible. Every one of you knows that. You know what you went through when you were condemned. You know what you go through when you yield to Satan and you fall into sin, and then you realize, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you've sinned. You know the turmoil that it causes. But Jesus says to those who believe on him, those who acknowledge their sin, those who put their trust in him, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Do you have that peace this morning? Is that peace happen in your life? Have you heard the words of Jesus saying to you, "I give you peace"? The love for the word of God is another way. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's in Psalm 119, verse 165. John 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer," Jesus says. "I have overcome the world." brothers and sisters, if we put our trust in the individual, not just an individual, but in the Son of God who has overcome the world, has overcome Satan, has doomed Satan to eternal destruction, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, his word, that you might have peace. How do we maintain peace? Basically, by continuing in the ways that bring peace. Continue in those things. Are we continuing in the submission and surrender to God in our lives? Or are we wondering, like the songwriter did, when he says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? You know, many of us can at times look back and say, that was such a wonderful experience. I just felt so free. I felt so forgiven. I felt so relieved. We look back on those and we say, well, where is that? Where's that feeling today? Brothers and sisters, maybe it's because we're not thankful enough for what we've been forgiven for. Maybe we haven't experienced the continual forgiveness of God. Maybe we've turned away from that. Maybe we've become unsubmissive. Maybe we've become unsurrendered in some areas of our lives. And we're not fully yielding to God and his way. And we wonder, where's our peace? It's not because God doesn't want to give it to us, but it's because we're fighting against the one who can give us peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's a continual process. We need to keep our minds stayed on him. We need to continue to trust in God. There's nothing that unsettles our peace more than becoming anxious or upset with what God is doing in our lives and saying, God, don't you understand? Don't you know what you're not doing the right thing. Brothers and sisters, when that happens, we're looking for peace from the outside in and not from the inside out. Peace comes from being surrendered to God. And if God doesn't work things out the way we want it worked out, doesn't mean that we need to lose our peace. It means that we need to continue to trust in God. And God will continue to give us peace. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What mind are we after today? The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.